In you, that you have the power to save, that you have the power to heal the deepest and darkest sin. You have the power to heal the worst physical trauma, the worst physical illness. You are Jehovah God, our healer. And Lord, we come before you today with grateful hearts. You are so good. You are so faithful to us. And God, I thank you that you care so much about every detail that's going on in our lives, everything that we think about, everything that we wonder about, everything that we care, that we're curious about, you know and understand. In everything that we're going through, you know and understand. You are with us. And Lord, today we come to you as people that are weak and frail, and we present our weaknesses before you. And we present our lives before you only because you've enabled us to. The only things we have to offer you is what you've given us. And they all belong to you to begin with. Jesus, I pray that you tune our hearts today to your word, to your powerful healing, to your work of grace in each and every one of our lives, and the mercy that is so much more than anything that we can imagine. Your mercy that takes pity on our affliction and our pain. Your mercy that takes pity on our places when we get stuck between a rock and a hard place. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak through your word today and move me out of the way, move us out of the way as listeners, that we'd hear what you have to speak to us from your word. And God, we come to your word submitting to its authority and power as being your very words for our lives today. And Lord, I pray that you bless our children. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' mighty, powerful name, all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning as children are dismissed to junior church. We're on our God Will Surely Visit You series, going through the book of Exodus. Today we're going to talk about the sovereign Lord of the body. And God is sovereign over everything in our lives, and today we'll focus on the aspect of our physical bodies even. God is sovereign over. But we're going to get into a passage of Scripture. I'd like to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 12 today. 8 through 12. And as we read this, I think of that. Was there some commercial that goes itch, itch, scratch, scratch, itch, itch, scratch, scratch? We're going to talk about boils today. Wonderful. And I spared you by not putting really any major real pictures of a boil on the screen because it is quite disturbing. But what I did do is put something about itching. So we keep that image in our mind as we read chapter 9, verses 8 through 12 this morning in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the chairs in front of you. But Exodus chapter 9, verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So as we talk about this passage of Scripture today, who owns our bodies? In anger and rebellion, we often hear people shout out, my body, my choice. But who does our body really belong to? And that's what we're going to look at today. The Egyptians took great pride in their bodies, believing that they, along with their fake gods, had control over their bodies. And they wanted to control their bodies. And remember, as we mentioned before, they shaved all the hair off their body. They took great thing to make sure that they had perfect skin and all that sort of thing. And so in our text today, the plague that God sends gets very personal when the Egyptians break out in festering boils from head to toe. And this was very painful and itchy, not to mention for them, and especially the magicians, embarrassing. God was sending a message loud and clear to the Egyptians, I am even the Lord of your bodies. This plague defeated multiple false gods of the Egyptians. There was a god that they worshiped by the name of Amun-Reth, and they believe this god dispels ailments. There was another god called Thoth, the god of healing arts. And then there was Imhotep, the god of medicine. And then there is Semket, the lion-headed goddess who supposedly had the power to begin and end epidemics. And that's why these magicians and these priests were so embarrassed, because their gods had let them down. The Egyptians of this cult wore jewelry and supposedly it warded away evil in their lives, but not this time, because God is the Lord of the body. Pharaoh's magicians were so soundly defeated by God that this time they could not even stand before Moses. They were in their bedchambers, itch, itch, scratch, scratch, and with those boils from head to toe, they could not even perform their religious duties to their fake gods. They could not even heal themselves with their demonic practices and witchcraft. They cowered and itching in pain, as did many of the Egyptians throughout the land. And there were so, and as we look at this passage today, there's so many applications for the believer from this text, as the believer's body belongs solely to God. God created us, and we belong to Him. So let's get into the passage today. Number one, the Lord is the only one who has authority over the body. Look in verses 8 through 10. Now, there's some interesting things that is happening here. The Egyptians were receiving justice for enslaving the Hebrews. And so you think about, what were the Hebrews doing? They were making bricks for the pyramids. They were serving as slaves, and they would make the bricks in these kilns. And so Moses took soot or ashes from the kiln and threw it up in the air, and then the whole land was filled with festering boils. That was a sign to them. The very thing, Pharaoh, that you're enslaving the people with is what's going to cause you boils. And so God carries out His justice. And then here's the other thing. The Egyptian priest of all these false gods, when they would give a blessing, they would take the ashes of their sacrifice and throw it into the air. So this was a double whammy, a double insult to them, to say, if you think that your gods are going to come through, your gods of medicine and your gods of healing and your goddess of healing, think again, because I am the Lord of the body. And you know, God, as they toss that up as a blessing, it now is revealed to them that it's a curse, the gods that they worship. And that word sores there, if we look in the Bible there in verse 10, so they took suit and they were breaking out in boils and in sores on man and beast. That word sores is from an unused root, which means to belch forth. It's an inflammatory pustule or an eruption. So imagine these eruptions all belching out all over the skin of the Egyptians, man and beast. And so as we come to this passage, the Egyptians could not even carry out their religion. God put all their rituals to a halt because they're busy, itch, itch, scratch, scratch. And we're talking about physical ailments, and we all deal with physical ailments in our life today. And we can be quick to say, well, that person got sick because they sinned or something, they did something wrong in their lives. But when we think about physical ailments in the Bible, there's a number of reasons why people get physical ailments. And some physical sickness is caused by us, like, for example, lung cancer from smoking. That's a choice we make. Other physical ailments are the cause of other people's sins, such as getting in a car accident with someone who's driving drunk. Okay, that's something that comes upon us, the injuries from that car accident, from someone else's sin. While other physical problems are for reasons we do not understand, like Job. God allowed Satan to tempt Job, and in fact, Job had sores all over his body. And what was Job's reaction to that? His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job says, "No, I'm going to praise the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so sometimes we are sick for God's higher purposes that we may never understand. Other physical ailments come upon us, and like in this passage today, as a sign of God's divine act of justice and discipline. God was revealing who He was in this instance, in this passage of Scripture. Physical ailments in our bodies can present us an opportunity. One is, are we going to just itch and scratch and say, "Oh man, we're in despair, we can't worship our gods anymore," or are we going to praise God? When we get sick, it is an opportunity to praise the Lord. When we get sick, it's also an opportunity for us to be curious about God's higher purpose. "God, what are you doing?" It could cause us to look out, "God, what are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to speak in my life?" It's also an opportunity to examine ourselves. Now, I can't examine Tanya and say, "Well, she was disrespectful towards me this last week, and so no wonder she got a head cold." But Tanya can examine in her own time with the Lord and say, "Okay, is there something right or wrong?" And the Lord can speak to her. So we can't ever tell that in each other, but it does give us an opportunity to say, "Well, am I sick because of something?" Now, here's a problem, though. When people get sick and physical ailments and trials and things that come in their life, sometimes people just get in despair. "I must have sinned against God. I don't know what I did, but I must have sinned against God, and God did something to me." If you don't know what it is, it's probably not that you sinned against the Lord. It's that God has a higher purpose, or you're experiencing the fallout from living in a sinful world. And so we can't always think that. Physical ailments are an opportunity to examine ourselves and repent if it is necessary. Not repent if it's not necessary. The Lord will reveal that to you as you walk in your relationship with the Lord. I want to read a passage of Scripture out of Psalms. When David is crying out to the Lord in his anguish, he says, "For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before you. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin." And so if we have sinned, and God does reveal something, it's that opportunity to repent. This was an opportunity for Pharaoh to repent, but he did not. So the Lord is the only one who has the authority over our body. I want to look at a passage of Scripture for believers. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Now, the Holy Spirit is God. We're talking about God Himself living inside the believer. If you believed and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you are the temple of the Spirit, not you alone, but you with all the believers together, house God's presence. "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." God is not just interested in our spiritual lives, He's also interested in our physical lives. When He saves us mind, body, and emotions, all of us, all of you. And He begins a work of transforming grace in our lives, in our bodies, and we're all going to deal with things throughout our lives, addictions, things that we want to give up, or things that are harmful to our body. But nevertheless, our body belongs to Him. And we walk by God's grace. We take steps of transformation by God's grace. Some of us, it's baby steps. Some of us, like, "Well, I, and for most of us, it's never all at once. And so we have God's grace, but we have the call as believers to glorify God with our bodies. Which brings us to number two, the Lord is the only true great physician. Look in verse 11. And the magicians could not even stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon the Egyptians, all the Egyptians. See, those that practice magic arts cannot stand before God's people. And this is the good thing and maybe an encouragement for believers. If you're walking in God's truth, if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, know this, that no matter what may come in your life, know that God is the great physician. He is not going to allow us to be defeated by the enemy. He already won the victory on the cross. You notice they could not even stand. And then you want to notice at the beginning of the verse when God tells them to go before that, God says, stand before Pharaoh. That is almost a picture of stand strong, stand firm, because I am with you, Moses and Aaron. And so Moses walked in the authority and the power of God, and you can too as a believer. Whereas these magicians couldn't even stand before Moses. And they were lying down. Those that practice magic arts cannot stand before God's people. And those that practice magic arts only have an appearance that they can heal physical ailments. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard stories of people going to witch doctors or this kind of doctor, and they do voodoo and to false gods, which is really demons. And people have an appearance of being healed. But I can tell you, if you were to do a long-term study on their life, it's always just a partial healing, or it's a healing, but then you have all kinds of other problems come in your life. So Satan is very alive and well to trick people, but it's only the appearance of physical ailments. God is the only one that can give ailments and take them away completely. And when our Lord and Savior walked the earth and He healed people lined up, it wasn't just partway healings. It was all the way. But those were a sign to the spiritual healing where God is taking away all of our sin. All of our spiritual ailment of being disconnected from our Creator God was met in Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are brought near to God when we put our faith in what He's done on the cross for our sins, and we are healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically, if not now, but one day when we get our resurrection bodies. Now, I want to point out, too, that even the most learned doctor does not have the power to heal themselves. Now, with this in mind, what were we dealing with here, these boils? There's other passages of Scripture that give us a greater idea, because later on in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God is talking to the children of Israel, and He's reminding them of what happened back with Pharaoh in Egypt. And He says, if you disobey Me, this is what's going to happen to you. So He's talking about His people obeying Him and walking in obedience to Him. He says, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch. Now, that's a greater description of what was going on with the Egyptians, of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and robbed continue, and there will be no one to help you. And then later on in verse 35, He says, the Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. So that gives a picture of what the Egyptians were experiencing. It was not just a little mosquito bite or a bee sting. It covered from head to toe. This was serious and grievous, and they could not heal themselves. And God, once again in the future, is also going to use this plague when He judges the earth. When we think about what we're going on and all the injustices that are happening right now on the earth, and you think of, I was a little perturbed the other day. Big Lots is closing, and my mother-in-law went and found a mattress that she was looking for, and they have huge percentage off. And so you pay for it, and then they put a receipt on the, they tape it really well onto the mattress. And so we they left. They didn't have a vehicle to get it, come home, and thankfully my truck is healed now after its transmission problem. But the lady liked Tanya. Tanya had favor with the woman that worked there, thank God, because people were going. And they were taking the receipts off and saying, oh, here's a mattress that has no receipt. It must still be for sale. And it happened like two or three times. And the lady's like, no, no. And she put the receipt back on. And but that is the kind of society we're living in now. And I said to Tanya, I would like to meet the person that was peeling those receipts off. Well, probably is good that God didn't allow me to meet them. Because they would get a full sermon in Big Lots. I mean, that's a... But one day, God is going to make every wrong right. And this is in Revelation 16, when God pours out his wrath. And we're not talking about the persecution that comes from the Antichrist to the church. That's the beginning of Revelation. This is when God removes his church, and this is the big stuff that happens. He says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple. This is God's wrath and anger, which doesn't even compare to the Antichrist's judgments on the church. He says, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. So all those that choose to worship the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ and the one world government rule will be marked and by God to have painful sores and boils. And so I thought that was interesting. As we look throughout the Bible, God brings things together. And the only way to be delivered is through Jesus Christ. And so that is the idea. So those that practice magic art cannot stand before God, and they can't heal physical ailments. Look at Psalms chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It says, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I like that picture there of a Bible art thing, but it really depicts that thing. You know, when those that don't have Jesus Christ stand before the judgment seat of God, they will be as if they were lying covered with boils. They won't even be able to stand. And so I won't be able to stand, or I would not be able to stand if it weren't for Jesus Christ. Thank God for his righteousness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang these songs today, and I know they picked them out very appropriately. I think David picked those out. He probably did not realize how this was going to jive with all the sermon, but maybe he did. But the Holy Spirit works in that way. Who alone can save themselves? Their souls to heal. You alone can rescue. You alone can save, as we confess this morning in our song to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that heals. I want to call our attention to a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 5. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And what was Jesus saying? I'm not come to call people that think that they've got it all together. I'm coming to call people that realize that they need the great physician. And that's the message that God was trying to get through to Pharaoh in this passage of Scripture. Another scripture that talks about, and I thought this was amazing how this all ties together. God reveals one of his name, which is Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord who heals. Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They weren't sure of finding water, right? I thought I'd add that, in the wilderness of Shur. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, of all people, shouldn't they have learned that God is the one that heals? And so Moses cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. That never happens when I throw a log in the water. I don't think it has anything to do with the log, but just the faith of what God told him to do and to say, I did this. You just threw a log in the water, you out of obedience to me. And so the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to the commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. At this time, I want you to realize, when this plague hit Egypt, those that were God's people were spared. They didn't know probably why they were spared, but they learned later in the wilderness. If you walk in obedience to me, none of these diseases will come upon you in the land. So the Lord is the only true great physician, which leads us to number three. The Lord is the only one who can deal with the human heart in regards to the body. Now, there's an interesting thing here. Up until this point, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. But notice the language here in verse 12. He says, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken. Why was God doing this? Well, some people try to get around the sovereignty of God and say, well, you know, Pharaoh already hardened his heart. But it says clearly here, and we can look in Scripture, look back in chapter 4, verse 21, if you will. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I put in your power, but I will harden his heart. God was revealing this was his purpose for Pharaoh. God hardened his heart. You say, well, that's not fair. Who are we to talk back to God? See, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart for the sole purpose of his glory and honor, for the sole purpose of showing his power to not only the Egyptians, but now in this present world, where we even have movies on TV, right, that have shown these plagues and the power of God to deliver. This was God's divine purpose for Pharaoh. It's to show God's power. If you look in chapter 9, verse 16, it says, but for this purpose I've raised you up to show my power. So we can't question God, because God did this to show his power. And then if we look back in chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, God did harden his heart to multiply the plagues so that they would get worse and worse and worse. And what that did was simply shine light on God's powerful judgment on the people of Egypt and shine light on the mercy that he showed to his people who did not experience the more extreme plagues in the land of Goshen. So those are the purposes that we say, why, God? Why did you harden this person's heart? Well, it's to show his power. It's to multiply and shine light on God's judgment or his mercy. But there's another reason here, because we've read already in multiple scriptures that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He chose to harden himself against God. So the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart because of his own rebellion and rejection of the Lord, who plainly revealed himself to Pharaoh. In order to understand that, we must look in the New Testament to a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 1. It says, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness. And then it goes on to tell about how humans were without excuse because God revealed himself. Pharaoh was without excuse because God revealed himself in 10 plagues. He still repented. It did not repent. But here's maybe gives us a little bit of understanding. If you skip down to verse 24 here, In this, he uses this phrase three different times in three different ways. He says, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts. And that word gave over is to surrender, to yield up, to entrust. And perhaps that gives us some understanding of the sovereignty of God on how it works with human responsibility, is that it gets to a point, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God says, I'm going to give you up to the lusts of your heart. And then it says in the end of verse 25, or verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, talking about people that give up the natural order of things and exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to be debased mind to do what not ought to be done. So there is a levels of hardness. When people choose to harden their heart, God said, okay, I'm going to give you over to the debased mind, to the base heart. And it goes into those extreme levels of what we are dealing with in our country today. And so it says in verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. So it's not just homosexuality here. It is deceitfulness. It's slander. It's disobedient to parents. It's foolish. It's faithless, heartless, ruthless, tearing tags off of mattresses. Those that know God's righteous decree and those that practice such things deserve to die. So this gives us some insight into understanding how God was dealing with Pharaoh in this instance. So the Lord is the only one who can deal with the human heart in regards to this issue of the body. And God certainly dealt with Pharaoh. But here's the thing. The believer is called to willingly glorify God with their bodies, just as Job did, no matter what kind of, whether they're sick or not sick, to give God the praise and the glory, to submit to His work in their lives. Maybe there would have been some repentance for Pharaoh in the sense of if he would have said, okay, God is using me to show His power to all of Egypt. Egypt, I'm going to make a decree that no longer are we going to worship these gods. I can still talk louder than the babies. First, we had the Hoffman girls. Now, that was several years ago. Jordan, she used to talk throughout the whole sermon, and I loved it. But that just means you're dialogue, and then one day you'll be a preacher too, maybe. So the believer is called to surrender to God and glorify God in the body, just as Job did. So there are three practical applications that I'm going to leave you with today. So with this passage, what does this Boils have to do with me? He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the only one that has authority over this body. And what does that mean for those that are believers? Number one, since the Lord is the Lord of our bodies, modern medicine, vitamins, herbs, diet, and there's by no mistake that we were talking about this in Joys and Concerns today, and several of you said it. You didn't say the doctors did it, the medicine did it. You said, I thank God for the medicine. I thank God for the science. And so here's the difference of putting our faith in doctors. And some of us may face some terrible physical things in if you get to the point of, oh, the hospital's going to save me, doctor's going to save me, that's not always going to happen. Oh, if I have a good diet and exercise, that's going to save me. It doesn't always work that way. There's some of the most healthiest people that get illnesses or die early deaths. So these things cannot be the object of our faith, but the great physician must be. We should use all of those things. But our faith must be in God, the great physician alone for healing. And so this should eliminate our other passage of scripture that somebody read, that Bruce read this morning, all worry and fear, because God has complete control whether we live or we die. And then we're not saying to be crazy and don't use science. Go to the doctor if you get sick. Oh, I'm just going to stay home and believe I'm going to get healed. All cults are formed on that principle. The Christian Scientist cult is formed on that. No, we're saying, thank God for the physicians. Thank God for modern technology and all the things. But in the end, God calls the shot whether I live or die. The doctor can look at things and say, I never did anything to heal you. How did you get healed? Some of us have experienced doctors saying that. Or, I did everything that I could. I don't understand what went wrong in the surgery. I have such a good track record. Because God alone is the great physician. That's the first application. Second application is since the Lord is the Lord of our bodies, we can confidently embrace and celebrate how God made us, warts and all. And this is including how we look and our biological gender. You know, if He is the Lord of the body and we're trying to alter our bodies to become something that it's really not, and then we end up having all kinds of other physical ailments and struggles in our life, it's because God is the Lord of the body. Now, let's just get real and practical as we think about these things. I can talk over phone rings too. We're just having a lot of fun today. But there's things I was thinking about, as you probably have, that I don't like about my physical stature. In fact, there's some times when there's things in the cupboard I can't reach. And I have to ask Long Arm Lucy to come and reach up and get it for me. We all have moments where we think, well, but there's a reason why God made me short and round. I don't know why, but God made me the way He made me. He didn't make me tall, dark, and handsome. He didn't make me with perfect skin. He didn't make me a man that all the ladies always wanted to chase after. I was more of a nerd. But nevertheless, the application from this passage is to be grateful to God how He made us. Oh, I wish I could be skilled at, there's several things we're trying to do on our new house and trying to save money, and I'm not skilled at a lot of these things, putting shelves and stuff in the closet, screwing, and the screws always do a violent protest against me and all that kind of thing. I wish I could be as handy as Eric. Well, God didn't make me to be as handy as Eric. God gave Eric those practical skills. He gave me other skills. Eric can't play the piano like I play the piano. When we had a contest of that, he'd lose. Because God made us all different. So this means that we must celebrate how God made us, especially our gender. Especially what we are born with, the body parts that God gave us when we came out of our mother's wombs. The color of our hair, the color of our eyes, and whether they point in the same direction or not. God made us that way. And it is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Who says what normal is? Maybe when we get to heaven, everybody will be cross-eyed, and that's just the normal, beautiful thing, right? We have standard things and ways of how we think, and we wish that we could be this way. And I know people that have multiple surgeries to try to morph their face so that they stay in their 40s when they're 80. Boy, I tell you, it doesn't look right, does it? I mean, it's just, how about you? I mean, it's a... Maybe we'll be tall and thin. But nevertheless, this practical application is God made us who we are. We can celebrate it. Every single part of our body, every single part of our personality, we can rejoice in our gender if we're men, gender if we're women. God gave you that gift for a purpose. And the last application is, since the Lord is the Lord of our bodies, we have to treat our bodies with care and respect. If our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have to take care of our bodies. This means our bodies are where the presence of God dwells if you're a believer. And we must take care to not to purposely harm or destructively alter our bodies through self-harm or ingesting continuously what is harmful to our bodies or engaging in sinful practices. And I want to bring us back to that passage with the verse before, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. He says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you're bought with a price. So glorify God with your bodies." You know, thinking about self-destruction, when we talk about social media and what our young people, and I want you to understand that as our young people, most of them are not in here today, but there are more young people that suffer with self-destructive habits to their bodies, cutting their wrists and arms and legs and things like that, and we should be aware of that. And the problem is because society says that you are not good enough. And what that does is it releases endorphins in the body and it gives you a high from your depression or what you are feeling at the moment. And others, you know, of us can maybe relate in other ways. We do self-destructive habits because it gives us a feel-good moment. But then the moment comes back and we feel twice as worse after that high, whether it's from drugs or alcohol or other things like that. But as believers, God has called us and He's given us the power to say no to these diseases and these ailments and to be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the way that we can corrupt our bodies in the number one way in this passage of Scripture is from practicing sex outside of marriage between a biological man and a woman. It's harmful to the body, harmful to the mind, and harmful to the spirit. There's only one great physician. I want to read a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5. And I love this passage of Scripture. Remember Levi, who Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, and he said, "I've come as the great physician to heal those." This woman had a problem of the discharge of blood for 12 whole years, and so she went to many physicians and had spent all that she had, but was no better and no worse. Can you imagine her health bills, you know, without health insurance? And like Gordon's bill of $450,000, she sold her house, she sold everything, all her nest egg and her retirement is completely gone, but she got no better to see the best physicians of the day. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said, "Do you see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." There's a reason why Jesus healed all these physical diseases, because it was a sign of him being the one who was to take away the ultimate disease, which is our sin, and to wash us in his own blood. And that is the power of the gospel. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only one who has authority over my body and your body. The Lord is the only true great physician, and he is the only one that can deal with our human heart in regards to the body. And so it's between us and God. It's a business with us and God, whatever we're dealing with sins of the body. Are you honoring God with your body? Are you living a life of wholeness and peace surrendering and allowing the great physician to come and heal those wounds and the trauma that's occurred in your life. And we can apply this by placing our trust in the Lord over modern medicine, by celebrating the way God made us, and treating our bodies with respect to honor Him. The word of the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your demonstration through Pharaoh that leads to the cross. Jesus, I thank you for your healing in my life and the lives of my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I would ask that you'd please extend your powerful healing, whether it's this need for spiritual healing, physical healing, and the lives of those in here that are seeking you today. Lord, I pray most of all that every person in this room would come to you to be washed by your blood, to be forgiven of our sins, and to be healed of our sinful diseases. Father God, I ask for whatever person you are working in right now, and all of us you're working in, I know, God, but those that have never put their trust in you, God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would lead them. And I want to tell you today, if that's you, it's as simple as saying, yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I'm now going to put my faith and trust in Him. I'm transferring my trust from medicine, from myself and me trying to be the great physician of my life, to put my trust in the great physician. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you do that today, a simple prayer in your own words, I'm going to give you a moment just of silence to do that. If you're here as a believer today, I want to invite you to come before the great physician. And if there's some areas of your life that you say, God, I need help. I need help in honoring you with my body. Maybe make this time a place of the altar. If you want to come down to the altar, if you want to make the place where you're sitting an altar, but make it a place of surrender to God and asking Him for help. Lord Jesus, I celebrate how you made each individual in this room. I celebrate the call that you've given to honor you with our bodies and to live before you holy and pleasing. And Lord, what a privilege and honor it is. Forgive us for taking for granted the fact that you, God Almighty, dwell inside of us as believers. Lord, I pray that you'd purify your temple. And Lord, I pray that you'd empower your people with your spirit for freedom, for joy, for life, for prosperity in spiritually in your kingdom, to know you. That is the greatest prosperity we could ever have, is to know you and to have you as our great reward. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.